Blog Talk Radio. This show is not intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning in to a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs.
Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do.
All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now. Show, and this is a trans-global co-creation. Our special guest today, Dr. Paul Hayder, is from Puerto Rico, and we even have guests calling in from Singapore, Brazil, and all around the universe. And the switchboard is in New York. This is Jan Christie. I'm speaking to you from the United Kingdom, and in just a moment we're going to bob over to Oregon to join up with Mr. Gary Moore. Are you there, Gary?
I am here. Hello, everyone.
Hiya.
And welcome. Hello from Oregon. And welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Healing Fountain. It is a beautiful day here in Oregon. And we have a cruise ship parked in the port of Astoria at the moment.
Wow.
This is our sixth cruise ship that we've had in town within the past 2 weeks. They're coming practically one every other day now, and they make a port of call here, and I live right across the street from the port of Astoria, so I get to see them coming in. It's quite wonderful. Yeah, they're pretty amazing. They're enormous.
I'll have to go on a cruise and park outside your house, Gary, and bob over and see you.
There you go.
We've done about 3 years worth of shows together and never actually met you in person. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, book a cruise on Princess Cruise Lines or Holland America or any of them, and book a cruise to Alaska, and you will definitely stop and make a port of call in Astoria, Oregon.
I don't know that I want to go to Alaska, beautiful though it might be.
It's
warmer weather than probably Alaska has to offer. I don't know, though. It would be interesting, the land of the midnight sun, wouldn't it?
And they, you know, it's the weather actually is quite nice in Alaska now. I've been to Alaska a couple of times, and it's beautiful. And the best fishing I've ever done was in Alaska. People have this idea that Alaska is cold and, you know, buried in snow, and I guess it is in the northern reaches during the winter, but not so bad this time of year. So.
That's great. Oh, lovely. So, how did your ceremony go last week?
The ceremony went well last week. We're gearing up and doing more now that the weather is warming up. I've got another one to do on the 1st, I believe. Yeah, the 1st, which will be Sunday. So, I'll be in time for the show. But unless, of course, I'm called to do things on the spur of the moment, like I kind of was last time. So, but it went well.
Mm. Oh, and, great! We missed you anyway.
Oh well, it's nice to be missed.
Right. Well, today we have a special guest from Puerto Rico. He's not Puerto Rican, but he lives there, and he's lived there for a few years because he's married to a Puerto Rican lady. And his name is Dr. Paul Hayder, and he helps seekers find spiritual realization by looking within to find fulfillment and contentment. And he does blogs very regularly on different websites that I visit, and he's a spiritual teacher and master herbalist. And he answers any sort of questions about what sort of herbs to use and food to eat and not eat. And so if anybody wants to call in and ask his advice, don't be shy, because he's like us, he's nearly human. And I'm sure he's very human. But let's see. Right, well, tell you the number. It's 001 from outside the United States, 646-929-0461. So we hope to see a few thousand people on the switchboard calling in, asking questions. But before we actually bring him on, we're going to play a lovely song that he requested, and it's by Russell Watson. I've had the pleasure of working with Russell at a little club near Manchester, Middleton, the little place was. And this is before he got really famous, of course. And he was absolutely brilliant even then. He sang pop songs only at that time, but you could tell he had a really good voice. Anyway, he's done really well for himself. So this one's for you, Russell, and also for you, Paul.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near. And I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's my way, and I'm not gonna hold me down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down, 'cause I've got faith of the heart.
I've got faith.
That's the superb voice of Russell Watson. Really good.
Lovely stuff.
And yeah, great. And he actually worked for the same management as we did with our group. Leo at Wigan, they were called. Anyway, that's going back a few moons. Not that many, but, you know, a few. 2 or 3 years.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Anyway, I think we're going to bring Dr. Paul Hader on right now. So, are you there, Paul?
Yes, I am.
Hiya. How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm glad, really glad to be here and with you two people.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
And you've got loads and loads of fantastic information to impart to us, don't you? And we've already got a couple of callers on the switchboard who will bring on in just a few moments. But if you'd like to just tell us a little bit about your work, Paul.
I do two different things. I'm a spiritual teacher. I teach about spirituality and how to bring peace and contentment and love and compassion into your life. And also I'm a master herbalist, and I help people with everything from diet and eating right, which is a major thing, and the herbs from everything from psoriasis to cancer to indigestion, you name it. I help a lot of different people with a lot of different things.
Hmm. Well, I don't really like to talk about cancer because I think it manifests it, but there may be quite a few people listening in who would like your advice on that. Did you say you know of foods that really help?
Yeah, there are lots of herbs that help with cancer, and if they go to my blogging spot on WordPress under Relax Into Success, they'll find I have about 3,000 articles, so there's a lot of information there.
Wow.
And so
high doses of vitamin C, would you say? That helps.
Vitamin C, actually, I have two good research friends here in Puerto Rico who have done a lot of research on vitamin C and healing cancer. Unfortunately, every time they go to the symposiums, they're both pharmacists and researchers, and they get laughed at. Which is terrible because they've done a lot of research and it really does work. Vitamin C.
Well, why wouldn't it? Because we know that it heals the skin and we know that it comes from the sun, doesn't it? I mean, originally, vitamin C is a sunshine vitamin along with vitamin D, isn't it? And so, you know, I do think the sun is quite healing in itself.
There is a stigma among scientists. They don't want to do with the deal with anything natural. And, you know, actually most doctors don't have much in the way of learning about nutrition at all, only one course in nutrition. And so they really don't understand it much. Actually, I was going to my doctor and reading a huge, thick book on nutrition. And I got into his office and he said, wow, I wish I had time to read that.
Yeah, you'd think that doctors would, nurses do. Nurses have to learn about nutrition and diet and things, don't they? So why not doctors? I know they've got plenty of other things to learn about. You're not a medical doctor, are you? You have a doctorate in herbalism, is that right? And holistic therapies, is that right?
A doctoral degree in religious studies, and I've been studying herbalism for over 25 years now. My father was from India, so
this allopathic Western medical model is very cliquish, and they very kind of keep to themselves. And when new ideas and new ways of healing are introduced into that circle, it's not necessarily, and historically speaking, as we look back, it isn't looked upon very favorably at first. So there, you know, that's understandable.
It's not the doctor's fault. They don't really have time. You know, they have about 15 minutes, according to the insurance companies, to spend
right.
with every person. And so they don't, and when they get home, they're dead beat. You know, and they don't want to do anything more. So they pick up a book and read, man, I really don't think so. So
no.
They learn everything from the pharmaceutical people. Push this drug.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And,
well, they're making millions, aren't they?
Your approach probably involves the patient to take a little bit more of an active role in their own healing, right? Rather than, you know...
Absolutely. Necessary, you know. I was actually writing about that today as far as emotions, you know. I mean, if you have a lot of anger and adrenaline and cortisol going on in your body, tissues do not heal. And people think, you know, I just take this drug, I get better, and it's because of the drug. Well, not really.
No, well, disease is dis-ease, isn't
right.
it? Dis-ease of the body, mind, and so on. Well, in fact, it's a holistic thing that doctors don't really take into account, isn't it? The mind, body, and soul, and spirit.
Also now, whether we know that meditation changes genes, and you can turn off bad genes, turn on good genes. And so we have a huge plethora of natural ways of healing that a lot of people are not connecting with, because in our Western society, we kind of shun emotions away and we kind of push them off to the side, so we never deal with them. Whereas in Buddhism, you know, you allow them to arise, you allow them to be felt, and then you let them pass away. And that's a normal process. But if you don't deal with them, and then it becomes anxiety, and then it becomes depression, and you get all this tension in your back and your neck, and becomes a huge problem, and then it starts changing your whole physiology.
Yes, to begin manifesting in the forms of tangible diseases, yes.
Even cancer. I knew a lawyer who was helping kids that were being put in prison unjustly, and it made him into a rage, and he ended up with cancer in no time.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Jampi in the chat room is just saying he's heard this week that lemon juice and black seeds, black turmeric, are great against cancer. Also, noni tea, and he's researched it because his uncle just has cancer on his throat. And he's put also, for Big Pharma, healed patients are dead clients. If it doesn't end you, it'll mend you. If it doesn't mend you, it'll end you.
So lots of ways to heal the mind. I think of it as the mind-body.
Yeah.
There's no other way to think about it, in fact, because we have emotions come up, and they bring about a feeling, and those feelings are supposed to be dealt with. And I really think, like in Vipassana meditation, you know, you're set with the body, and you allow the things that come up within you just to be, and you see them come up and pass away, and you notice after a while that you don't have to take action. There's no action necessary, and especially with people who have been abused, that they connect action with some kind of abuse. And so it's about allowing ourselves to connect with a feeling of being safe and at home in our own skin. And once that starts to settle in, it allows us to start healing. And especially if we put together cognitive work with things like Qigong and martial arts and Tai Chi and yoga and that type of thing, we start to release the stuff in our bodies so we can have that mind-body healing.
Well, in the East, it's a much more of a holistic approach than we've had in the West. And our medicine's only about 200 years old in comparison with Eastern therapies, which are like 2,000 years old.
Right.
Yeah,
in the West, we're taught to either laugh at them or mistrust them or whatever because of the big pharmaceutical companies wanting us to buy all these drugs.
Yeah, it's big business, and they're not interested in... in fact, there's no way to patent an herb. But they're trying to. Actually, one of the big companies is trying to patent one of the B vitamins right now. And so that means that every time that you buy want B6 that they're going to try to patent it so that you'll pay big money for it.
Mm. Right, right. Yeah, that's why they call it healthcare industry. You know.
But nutrition is really usually important, you know, as it says in the Ayurvedic medicine, if you eat right, you don't eat medicine. So that's the biggest thing. I think in Hippocrates says about the same thing. So I think it's most people, you know, in this fast food world are getting a lot of fat, salt, and sugar, you know, and those are the three major food groups.
third.
Yeah.
And so it really causes problems. I'm a vegan myself, and I had high blood pressure. I had arthritis for 40 years. I had kidney disease. All the things disappeared when I became a vegan. So I am a real, I don't believe that everybody should be a vegan, but I believe that it really makes a difference because we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables for sure.
Right.
And your diet is so important because it's like the fuel in your car. If you don't put the right fuel in, it pinks, doesn't it? The engine pinks. My husband calls it pinking if it's not got the right octane of fuel in. And it's the same with our bodies, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like a computer, you know, junk in, junk out.
Right.
You know, so we kind of have to put the right fuel in to get the right mood in our body and our mind and the ability
it's the
get
whole
up
balance.
And feel good.
That's the whole balance of getting the right, you know, the correct nutrition. And then, of course, the spiritual aspect of things, you know, the meditation, getting quiet. Disease does not live in a body that is at ease, I've learned.
Yeah, no, my dad died of a stress heart attack at 57.
Yeah.
I found myself going down that same road many, many years ago, and I went to do a stress test, and the doctor looked at me on a treadmill, you know, I was on his treadmill, and he said, "Man, you're healthier than I am. I think you got a little stress going on." So at that point, I decided to change my life and do something different because I didn't want to end up like my dad. And so we have to listen to the 2x4 effect, you know. It's going to hit you across the head maybe once, but it's probably not going to hit you two or three more times, you know.
And the minute you get something wrong with you, that increases the stress, doesn't it?
We need to wake up. We know, most of us know what's going on, but the thing is, we're kind of addicted to what we have going on as far as our lifestyle goes. Mm. It's about breaking those addictions. Actually, it was a study done asking people in New York, would you give up your fast food and everything? And then 90% of them said no. They wouldn't. I'd rather die at 55.
Yeah. Would you give up that stressful lifestyle, the commute every day and the pursuit of stuff? You know, in the pursuit.
That's a tough thing to give up.
Yeah, we have everything inside of us. We don't need anything outside of us. It's about allowing ourselves to go inward to find the truths that are really there all the time. You know, God lives inside of us. That's because this body is a temple, you know. And I'm a real devotee of near-death experiences also. And everybody says pretty much about the same thing. They go to the light, they have some kind of review, and they basically decide, you know, did I learn anything out of this? And then they decide if they're going to come back or not. And it's very interesting that we are here to learn lessons. We are here to make changes, and it may take eons for one soul to finally attain a certain level of understanding of who he is deep down inside.
Mm-hmm. And we are here to create. We're here to make something out of this life.
Yeah, we're here to create. We're here to, most of all, spread love.
That's right.
Right.
To spread compassion, to spread understanding,
joy,
and make a difference in people's lives. And you find that people, a lot of times when they have a lot of dis-ease going on, when they go out and do philanthropic things for other people by working in a you know, soup kitchen or something like that, a lot of their disease, dis-ease, disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with letting go of my ego needs and starting to help other people. And then they feel better. And their life is a lot better. I know a story of a man. He was a ruthless person in Wall Street, and he put a lot of people in the poorhouse. And then they had a near-death experience. And on the other side, they said, what did you do to help your fellow man? And they didn't have an answer because there wasn't any. He didn't do anything to help anybody. When he came back into his body, everything changed. He sold all his cars, his big house, everything. He divorced his wife, lived in a two-bedroom little apartment filled to the brim with everything. And all he does is now is he's a counselor. Helping people to have a better life. And he
that's his poor wife. He divorced his wife. Sorry about that. Yeah.
He divorced his wife, and now he's a counselor, and he loves what he does because it makes him feel good that he's helping somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we do have a caller, and I believe that he's calling in to ask some questions. I think it might be Jumpy, Gary, if you want to bring him on. Jumpy's calling from Brazil.
I can do that, okay. Liz.
Thanks,
we have
Gary.
A caller.
I think it might be Jumpy. Just see.
Okay, they're from the 661 area code, and I'll go ahead and bring them on. 661, you're on air. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hello.
We're nearly
661.
Human. Well, maybe they're just listening. Maybe it's not Jumpy.
They could be, yeah. Well, I'll just go ahead and leave them unmuted. And if they speak up, we'll hear them.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, somebody in the chat room, Denise, is saying that you have two amazing Facebook pages as well.
Yeah, I have a one that's called Shambhala. All of a sudden, I lost my train of thought. Spiritual Transformation Institute, and then I have my Dr. Paul Hader page, and then of course my Paul Hader page, and I tend to help anybody who is interested in my consult, and I do it all for free. And I don't make a dime on anything. And I do it because it's something that needs to be done. And I get people connecting with me all the time asking about this or that. And I try to make a difference. Had a man today, in fact, he was from South America, and asking about his spiritual process. And, you know, sometimes if we're trying to do the right thing, sometimes it's not easy. And we have to be okay because if we do the right things, not everybody is going to appreciate it sometimes, you know. And we have to hang in there and keep doing what we're doing until somebody takes notice. You know, I lived in a 6-by-9-foot room for a year. And it was just the situation of the economics at the time. And I didn't have any running water or bathroom or anything. And I would scream out, you know what, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up. And eventually things got better. But you have to have that conviction within yourself to know that you're going to get through this, and your deity, your highest power is going to be there with you, and is going to help you get through this moment, which seems kind of problematic as if you're going to make it through, but you will. You just have to have a little faith.
That's right. And you haven't to be worried about people laughing at you, because I used to think to myself, well, the early Christians were thrown to the lions, and so if somebody laughs at me, that's not going to hurt, is it? You know what I mean? In comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to remember also that, you know, we hear spiritual beings that go through as in the Buddhist, many regenerations, and
yes.
My belief. And so we're going to go through things that we came here to experience. And sometimes that is to lose his body in order to get, you know, explore a full potential. I do something called spiritual breath work, and I'm watching a person's aura, and at the same time they're going through this, like deeper than rebirthing, but it's a breathing process. And you see people actually connect with some of their deepest, darkest secrets finally, and some of their pain that they need to express, or they actually connect to their highest deity, even the God. And it's amazing that what happens is the body kind of just drops away. It lets go after a while. And so they become a free soul. And that's the closest I can tell you of, you know, the reincarnation process, the spiritual breathwork process that I do. Now, I've seen people actually change their whole demeanor, and they kind of look like a Neanderthal. And some people even see their arms light up and know that they're healers, and they are. And it's a pretty powerful process. And I get the wonderful ability to sit back and kind of look at their aura and see what's going on. One time I had a man by the name of Todd, and I noticed there was a dragon that came out of his chest. And when he came back out of the experience, I said, "Todd, did you see that dragon?" He said, you saw that?
Wow.
And it was about his fears that were deep down inside. And after the experience, he went home and he started throwing up all this black stuff. And it was all the negativity that he was holding about his life as a child, growing up, you know, being a black kid and having to go through all that stigma and everything, and being people not liking him, actually. So it's a powerful process, but we have to understand that we come here to learn something, to spread joy, and to give love to other people.
Yes.
The whole thing about if we're going to go through some suffering, yeah, everybody goes through suffering. If it's emotional or physical or something, there's no getting around it. We are living in life, and there's going to be suffering attached to it.
And we choose for our best learning curve what we need to learn, don't we? We choose a situation around that. But could I just ask you a question, please, Paul? Someone in the chat room is asking if you read people's auras via distance, or do they need to be in the same room as you?
No, I can see them. I just kind of give me an idea of where they're at, so I can look at them, and I can't see them from a distance.
Well, there's a Halloween Tango in the chat room, Aka Michelle, and she was asking, can you read her aura?
I see on her right side that she has this yellow, which means healing. What is jagged? That means like she's going through these steps of doing a little healing and then dropping back, and doing a little healing and dropping back. And that's a normal process, but she's just feeling a little anxiety about that whole problem, the whole thing, which is normal. Just kind of let that go. And on the other side, I see some green, which means a little bit of guilt and shame, which everybody has. And so it's about this person loving themselves even more and allowing themselves to find what they really need deep down inside. We sometimes think we just need money to fix everything, but that's really not so. As a kid, I would have loved my mom just to hug me and hold me, you know? And I would have given, I remember one Christmas, I came to my mom on Christmas Eve and I said, "Mom, the only gift I want is a hug from you." being my mom was abused as a kid, that wasn't possible, you know? And so sometimes healing and what we really need comes in different packages. And this person needs to find what deep down inside they need. And sometimes it comes in the form of a spouse. Sometimes we marry people who push our buttons so that we heal in special ways. And that's not easy. You know, I know Flora and I have gone through things, and it's made me grow, it made her grow, and we've become closer and become better people at the same time.
But well, that's brilliant. Because is your wife into it all as well?
Pardon?
Is your wife interested in all of it as well, spiritualism and things?
She's a very spiritual person, and she also does tarot readings.
Oh, does she?
And she is amazing with that. She's one of the best tarot readers I've ever met.
Wow.
And she's very spiritual. Every time that she can't sleep at night, one of her relatives has died. We already know that in advance. If she can't sleep, something's going on.
So
she is very spiritual and connected, yes.
Brilliant. Well, could you read Jumpy's aura? Jumpy's in the chat room. He's from Brazil. And he was asking if you could read his aura. Please.
This big person feels a little lost and disconnected from what they really feel that they need to do. And that is about discovery. Sometimes we have to set aside our needs of what we think is important, and sometimes we think, I have a house to pay to make the payment on, and the kids need to go to school and all that kind of stuff. But it's not as important as doing what we know deep down in our soul that we need to do. And sometimes we just get disconnected from that. And I see that in this person's aura. They need to, the aura is very small around them, and it needs to be enlivened. And, I remember Divine Mother Amma saying, we all have a fire in our heart, and sometimes we can be putting things out into the world and helping people and doing all this stuff, but that makes our fire very small. But when we start giving back to ourselves, then when that fire becomes big, and then we can really truly make a difference in the world. So I ask that this person really start kindling that fire deep down inside, that they need some healing for themselves
and find out
what that really is.
Sometimes it's sort of a protection thing, isn't it? You make your aura small to protect yourself from what's going on around you sometimes, do you think?
We do that because we don't feel secure. And a lot of times we don't feel secure because we feel like we're out of place and we don't belong here. Well, actually, all souls feel that way because we are not connected with the divine intelligence and infinite power. And because of that, we feel like we should be in a different situation, in that light, in that bliss at all times. And so we have to allow ourselves to grow as people and understand that we all feel that way. We all feel disconnected from the light. We all feel separate. But reality is that's a lie. We are all one.
Mm-hmm.
And when humanity comes together and says we are all one and all things are one,
mm-hmm.
everything's going to change on this planet.
There'll be no war then.
No more war.
No. We do have another caller, and I think it may be Michelle, so I'll just bring her on. Is that you, Michelle?
It's me. Hi.
Hiya. Where are you
calling Michelle.
From?
Well, I had to call in because he picked up on some stuff going on in my abdominal area when he was reading my aura.
Where are you calling from, Michelle?
Where am I calling from? I'm in California.
California. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So can you enlarge on that at all, please, Dr. Paul?
You have some things going on in your abdominal area. No. Let me see here. Let me look at your aura. If you haven't been having things going on with your kidneys?
According to medical tests, no.
No? Okay.
Although most of the diagnostic stuff that they're doing is coming back negative.
Everything is coming back negative.
Pretty much.
I see red in your abdominal area. It's kind of like you're holding in emotion there. And in our abdominal area, we have millions of nerve endings. It's just about the same number of nerves as we have in our brain. And when we say we have that gut feeling, you know, it really is true. And I think it's really important that you need to start believing in yourself and what you need for yourself. I think you have the answer already. And you keep doubting yourself all the time. And I think that you have a lot more gifts to give, but you have to step out of the shadow. And I think that you have some kind of inflammation going on in your whole GI, abdominal cavity area. Have you been eating a lot of green leafy vegetables?
I normally do, yeah, I normally do. I actually, not too long ago, just did a fruit and vegetable juice cleanse as well.
Are you eating animal protein?
I just started eating some again recently, but I had not been for a while. They put me on about a month-long steroid round, as well as a bunch of other medications. And once I was on that and really in the throes of that was when I started eating meat again.
And how do you do with meat? Do you digest that well or not?
You know, it's almost a hard call for me to say that because in the past I would have said, no, I don't digest it well. Because my preference is definitely to be more in line with a vegetarian diet, maybe pescatarian, add some, you know,
And what blood type are you?
What blood type? I'm an A. I'm supposed to be vegetarian.
Oh, yeah, you should be a vegetarian. There's no doubt about it. I'm an A negative myself. So you're not going to get along with meat that well at all.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I find that there's only certain times that I might crave it, and I know the medications that they had just put me on really had me feeling very ungrounded and very unsettled and off balance, and I think in a way the meat slows all that down for me. Because I'm very energetically sensitive.
Well, you know, when I became a vegan, it was a feeling for 2 weeks of this kind of blissful feeling. I think in a past life, I was a Buddhist monk, and I didn't eat any meat in that life. Have you ever done past life regression?
You know, I haven't really. I sat down, I think, with one person maybe like 10 or 12, 15, somewhere around there years ago. But I don't know if they were actually hitting on a past life for me or not.
That might be interesting to do because I think that there is some kind of connection to what's going on with you and some kind of past life. And I had a lady who came to me, and her whole life she couldn't smell anything. And we did a past life regression, and in the past life regression that was in the medieval times, and she was in this war, and this person came up and stuck a sword up through her mandible, up into her nose.
Oh.
And she looked at that person, and that was her betrothed that she was going to marry. And at that point, she called off the wedding, and her sense of smell came back. And she could never smell before that, and all of a sudden, her sense of smell came back. It'd be interesting to look at and see if there's some kind of connection between what's going on and maybe some past life.
Okay.
If you have some kind of, if inflammation going on. Have you done like a coffee enema to detox your liver?
You know, I've tried that also in the past, not necessarily just with the intention of detoxing the liver. But I didn't do that with the cleanse, and I probably should have.
It's a good thing because we have so many toxins in our environment and our food and everything. And I think once a month it's a good thing to do. And also
that
if
frequently.
You ever... Huh?
I said that frequently? Once a month?
Once a month, yeah. I do one once a month. It doesn't hurt. Dr. Gerson from the Gerson Institute highly recommend it. If you go to the Gerson Institute, they do coffee enemas. Also,
a lot more frequently than once a month. I'm actually familiar with that protocol.
It's not pleasant, but for me, it's like, I feel so much better once I get that all those toxins out of my body. And of course, it's a low enema. It's not a high enema, you know. And so, also, have you ever done a heavy metal cleanse, like with DMSA or something like that?
You know, I haven't.
And that might be a big thing. I did a screening with a lab with your hair, and if you look up on my...
Actually, you know what? I did do that, and they said I had high levels of uranium show up in my hair now.
Yep, it would be a good idea to do like a DMSA cleanse and to get rid of that heavy metal. Heavy metals can mess you up with lots of different things. Everything from emotions to mood to stopping enzymatic processes happening in your body. It's a huge thing. So,
what does the DMSA stand for? I'm sorry, I don't know.
I've got the model right here.
Thank you.
which I can't remember, and I need my other glasses.
So I understand that feeling.
Yeah, somebody once told me the eyes were the second thing to go. I can't remember what the first was.
Dimercaptan salicylic acid. DIMERCAPTO. And then
okay.
The second word, succinic acid. And I find that to be the best way to go. You'll find different people saying different things about DMSA, but it's probably the easiest. And I did EDTA, and I found it really just kind of wiped me out. I didn't think it was a good thing to do.
And on the DMSA, just follow whatever it says on the bottle?
Yeah, if you go to my blog on Relax Into Success, I have what I recommend there. And
okay,
it's
perfect.
Usually about 7 days on and then a week off, and then you do it again. And you do it until you end up with nothing in the bottle. And
okay.
It really does do a great job of detoxing. Thank heavens we have this. Before, we could only do... IV, EDTA, and I'm not really into that. We have an oral medication now that, which is wonderful. I think it's great. Also,
in your opinion, would this interfere at all or benefit a thyroid complication as well? Because I'm having thyroid issues too. Thyroid.
It could be messing up your thyroid, too. And do you have the amalgam fillings in your mouth or not?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mercury. You got mercury. So if you can get those out of your mouth, that would be good. Because those are slowly killing you. Not good. Really not good. The couple, I think we finally hit... What the main thing is, we need to get these heavy metals out of your system. They are causing havoc with you.
Okay. All
right.
Okay, thank you,
Michelle. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for
calling
in.
Michelle?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Before
thank
we
you.
Bring, I think we've got Jumpy online. Before we bring him on, Paul. Could I just ask you, you were saying about if you're if you're A blood group, that you should be a vegetarian.
I did try it for a while.
Pardon?
Eating Right for Your Blood Type, and there's a book out called Eating Right for Your Blood Type, and I can't remember the author's name, but look that book up, and it's very interesting, and for me, it fits me to a T. I don't get along with meat and that type of thing, and I feel sluggish with it, and, I highly recommend that we eat right for the type of blood that we have going. And some people do well. If you're an Eskimo and you have, a lot of you do well with a lot of meat. So it depends on who you are and what's going on. I'm not saying a vegan lifestyle is for everybody. No,
yeah,
that's not true.
No, I tried it for a while, and it empowered me to know that I could give up meat if I wanted to do. And I don't eat a huge amount now. I just have a tiny little bit with veggies. But I do, I can't give it up altogether at the moment. I need it to ground me as well, because I never visit planet Earth, rarely.
I think it is, we have burgers out there with 8 patties in them now, and I think we're eating more meat than we've ever done before. And I think it we have to change this. This is not good.
No, I don't eat burgers and sausages and things like that. Just a little piece of meat. Anyway, we're going to have to bring another caller on, or else we're not going to get time to get your meditation in. So do you want to find Jumpy, please? I think he's back there on Skype now. And then we'll bring
we have a caller prior to Jumpy. We have Elizabeth waiting.
Oh, okay then.
Also, from the 305 area code. And let me go ahead and bring her on first. Whoops, where'd she go? Hello, 305.
Okay, am I muted?
Yeah, you're on air. What would be your question for Dr. Paul?
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth, and I live in Miami.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
I have at least a lot of sun and not much meat. I don't eat meat maybe once a month. And I have Eskimo's blood, zero HI plus. Imagine. Yeah, okay. I just wonder, thank you very much for answering my call. And I just wonder, what would you discover in my aura, whatever pronunciation is? Are you looking at the health subject or whatever it comes to your mind?
You have a huge star at the top of your head, and it's gold, and it's like a diamond. And it's like a diamond, and you give off a lot of spiritual energy. Like, you are a person who could help people and bring change into their life. I don't see this with very many people.
I do, yeah.
I said, you have a huge star at the top of your head. It's like a diamond, and you have the ability to help a lot of people. I think you hold back a little bit because, maybe you're afraid to talk about spiritual things, or maybe you think that you can't help anybody because I'm just me. But you have the ability to do it. People will listen to you. And I think that you need to get out there and allow your inner being to express itself so that you can make a difference in people's lives.
I try, really.
You are a person who has spiritual power, and I don't see that too often. And not like a diamond. No, not very often at all. This is important. You need to go out and help people.
They just don't really need it. The dogs love me more. The dogs recognize me 1, 2, 3. And if the dog comes to me, doesn't want to go away.
Yeah, because they know that you are a good heart, and they understand who you are from a deeper level, and you have power. You have power that goes beyond your greatest understanding yourself. And
you
need to go out and help people because people need your advice. They need your help. They need your guidance. And they're waiting for you. And there are so many people that need that.
I spend a lot of hours learning and reading and everything, and I never charge anybody a penny, and I really do, and I offer. But the people are very skeptic, so it's very difficult, even if a family is difficult. But most of the time, maybe twice, I didn't manage to help. But except these two things, maybe, I always help. I always help. And I always wonder why did it happen. So I learned
When Buddha was going through his process, and he was actually doubting himself, and then the evil came to him and said, why do you even do this? Why do you even try? You know, look at all these people. They don't care. And he closed his eyes for a moment, and then he said, there will be those few. And that's all that's important. There will be those few. And,
I have a lot of love for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have a love affair with humanity, as I do.
Yeah, and my spirit.
Mm-hmm. And I think you need to go out and express that. And you will get backlash from people, and some people are kind of nasty about the whole thing. Don't worry about it. Just keep moving forward.
My family, they said to me that I have if I see the lights, so I maybe have a devil around me, or maybe I am crazy, or maybe my brain is not working right. Oh, God, what a mess. But I do these things. I mean, I would like to do it more.
What they did to Jesus and all these different people, you know, because they were afraid of them. So we have to understand that we have power. People need your help, and do it no matter what.
So there you go, Elizabeth. That's a lovely message for you there.
How do you see my hair? Because I feel tired, and I don't know if this tired come from amount of energy around me, or is something else?
I think you listen
else?
To the people around you too much. And that drags you down. You think that maybe they're right.
Yeah, just ignore them, Elizabeth. We all get laughed at and things
I will try to send you energy because it's always there. It's always there. I don't know. Yeah, and so I always wonder, you know, if it works. I said, oh, my God. And I always tell, I don't know if this will help. I have no idea, but I try.
Yeah, and also you need to take care of yourself first. You know what I mean? You can't help somebody if you don't take care of yourself first. And so take care of your own spiritual energy and allow yourself to move forward. You know, do your prayers, do your meditation, and allow yourself to eat right and take care of yourself. And then if you have energy, help other people. But you can't help anybody until you help yourself.
That's true.
Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you do see, because not many people see, and I don't see aura when I look at the other person. But I see energy when I lie down in the bed, and it's kind of a dusk. I see all this blinking, sparkling energy, like a million pumps, like shaking a minute, and shaking like blue and white. And when I put my hand out and I mess it up like in a soup, it goes around my hand, and my hand look like a duck. It just wraps around me that energy. But it never helped me because I'm probably healthy because without the doctors I overcome a lot of stuff. I had the accident, but I don't know how to help myself. Really don't. I do help others, but I don't know how to help myself.
I think that's important. You know, like I said, you have to help yourself first, and I think that what is necessary is to look inside and see the little girl inside. And ask the little girl what she needs. You know, maybe she wants to go to the park today. Maybe she wants to go have ice cream. Or maybe, you know, there's something else. Maybe she wants to go to the museum. Maybe she just wants to have a day in pajamas and do nothing day. But listen to that little girl, because that little girl lives inside, and she's the one that brings the joy in your life.
Thank you. If you ever need the energy, call my telephone. Hold it and keep it, so I will prove if I can help.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be really? Fine. Listen to that little girl inside.
Yeah.
Okay, Elizabeth.
I thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes, thank you for calling,
Paul.
Elizabeth.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, the other guy and lady.
Thank you for your call.
Have a good day.
Lovely energy there.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, then.
You too. That's why I called. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll go ahead and just put you back on mute, and we'll move on to the next caller. Now, this caller, I do believe, is Jumpy. Jumpy, are you there?
Hello, it's me. How are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, your friend and his.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I'm with both computers. I have to mute off on one of them. I wanted to thank the response to the email I sent today to Paul. And I must say I was a bit worried about the aura reading he did about me, but I believe that I'm feeling completely disempowered.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I depend on my mother financially. I've been HIV positive for more than 11 years now, and I've been taking very heavy medication, and I'm feeling a deep disconnection from my family as I'm working on my ego dissolution with a woman from the United States. And I feel a deep urge to be helpful and to do meaningful things, but it's been very hard for me to start it out of nothing, because I had issues with drugs in the past. So my mother controls all my money, including my inheritance, and I really need to start all over again. And besides, she does not trust any kind of natural therapies, etc. So I have to ask my friends to buy the things I know are right for me. And I have another issue with nutrition, because I had a very bad car accident 7 years ago. So I have issues with chewing and like vegetables, etc. So I drink lots of juices. And I would like to hear from you. What you think? How you could help me?
I think that you. What kind of meditation do you do? First of all, I want to ask that question. What kind of meditation are you doing, Jumpy?
I normally meditate with music and candles and that kind.
No, that's not meditation. I recommend that you go out and do TM. Learn TM, Transcendental Meditation, from somebody. Or go to a Vipassana meditation retreat, a 10-day meditation retreat. They are free. And they are given by people who have done them and found amazing results. And they do it out of the love of their own heart, because they know it works. So there's two possibilities here. The TM, which is powerful. They find that TM even works really great for guys coming back from the war in Iraq and that type of thing. And because...
Transcendental meditation.
Pardon?
TM stands for Transcendental Meditation.
Yes, Transcendental Meditation, yes.
Transcendental Meditation.
Yeah, the Maharishi Mahesh and the Beatles and that type of thing, yeah. And they have a long-standing ability to lower blood pressure and heal emotional problems. They have probably over 700-800 different studies showing the efficacy of transcendental meditation. It is powerful. Also, Vipassana is powerful because it allows you to understand yourself from a deeper place. If you want to watch the movie Doing Time, Doing Vipassana, which is on YouTube, you'll see a whole bunch of inmates in India, and they decide, what are we going to do to these people? They just come into the prison system, and they go out, and they do the same thing again. So then they actually started Vipassana meditation process in the prison, and they changed everything. And
for the benefit of our audience listening on the archives, could you repeat the word and spell it for us?
Vipassana. Oh, boy, I have to write it down.
What's the word?
I had never, I don't believe I've heard of that one before.
Vipassana.
Vipassana. Okay. It's a new one.
A new one on me.
Put your type on the chat room.
No, it can't type it in the chat room, Jumpy.
Vipassana.
Vipassana. Is that it, Gary?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Vipassana, correct?
No, V-I-P.
Okay, I got it.
Assana.
Oh, Vipassana. Without the S before that.
Vipassana?
No, VIP.
Oh.
VIP, is that right?
VIP.
Yeah.
Assana.
A-N-E. Right, not I-N-A. Okay. Vipassana.
Anyway.
No, Vipassana.
If you Google... If you Google that word and you come up with the, I think it's the Dharma Center, they give these free around the world all the time. They have the Vipassana centers all over. And in the United States, South America, India, you name it, they're all over the place. And it's a wonderful process. And They ask for a donation if you can afford to give a donation. If you can't, that's fine too. And that includes your vegetarian meals also. Mm-hmm. And
that's
a 10-day process. A 10-day process, the first 3 days you think, I can't do this. The fourth day you said, maybe. The fifth day you have some kind of breakthrough that goes, that happens. And then after that you go, I don't want to leave. And it's very powerful. It is usually powerful. You see these guys come out of prison, out of this meditation process in prison, and then they're bawling. They're crying because they see their true selves on a deeper level. I highly recommend it. If you've never done a Vipassana 10-day meditation retreat, it will change your life. There is no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. I will look for it. Okay.
And there's also one for children called Anapana also. Anapana.
What?
Anapana.
Okay. Anapana.
A-N-A-P-A-N-A. A-N-A-P-A-N-A. And that's a children's course. And, it's a much shorter thing.
Anapana, put it in the chat room. Just have a look, see if it's right. You won't be able to type in, but you can see, can't you, Paul? Anapana. Yeah, that's what I've put in, but without the capital A. And Vipassana. Right. Okay, and Denise has put in the chat room also Wikipedia, Wiki, Vipassana, and also dharma.org, www.dharma.org. And that's about Vipassana.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, they will change your life. And it is really great for kids because they have a deeper sense of themselves, and they don't get caught up in all the craziness that's going on around them, and they have better grades. They feel more centered and peaceful. It changes kids' lives. And they just have more compassion for people also in the end.
Oh, that's great. What about buckflower remedies? Do you, do you use those at all?
Pardon?
The buckflower remedies.
Buckflower remedies?
Yeah, B-A-C-A.
Buckflower is good, but it's not going to change your life like you find with this type of meditation. This could be like 180 degrees for people. I mean, this is going to be amazing. This is one of the few things. In fact, it's the only thing that's working for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Coming back from the war. Some of these people want to kill themselves. I remember one man, he even said that in front of his two little daughters. And at that point, he knows, said, this is not working for him. Medication's not working for me. Okay, regular consults with a psychologist is not working for me. And then they got him into the TM workshops, and that was the only thing that saved his life. Powerful.
Wow.
Very powerful.
The art of seeing things as they truly are rather than being caught up in the illusion behind everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you think that, you know, this feeling is coming up. First of all, when we have something come up as a feeling, we have a sensation in our body. And then the feeling arises out of it. But when you get into the Vipassana meditation, you go, oh, that's a sensation. It will pass. And then it will go away. And then you become grounded in the here and now. It's really interesting that they did a study where they flashed images on a screen over a period of time, and they watched the response with special conductors on people, and it was about 3 to 4 seconds before the actual picture was flashed that people reacted. And so people were actually in the future somewhere, knowing exactly what that image is going to be. And what they found with people who are meditating and doing Vipassana or TM, they found that didn't happen. They were in the here and now. And I find that very, very interesting. We need to be in the now. We need to be in the place of our own reality. And most people were thinking about feelings from the past or, you know, thinking about a feeling from the future, in the future, and that it does not allow us to be present.
Which is what we really are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jumpy. Thank you so much for calling, Jumpy.
Thank you.
And try God bless you. Bye-bye.
The Vipassana and Anapana types of meditation.
I will.
I hope I said that right. And
okay,
we want
to... Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Well, I don't think we're going to get a chance to fit your meditation in, Paul. So we'll have to have you back on again very soon so you can do that. You've got some lovely ones on YouTube as well. You've got the one for getting rid of anger management. But right now we're just going to play you a lovely song by your favourite artist, Russell Watson. So we'll just chill out to this one for a minute. Take a break, have a drink.
One day I'll feel the laugh of children in a world where war has been banned. One day I'll see men of all colors sharing
A gorgeous song. Thank you very much. That was Russell Watson, for anyone who doesn't know. And that was absolutely brilliant, Paul. We'll have you back really soon. So thank you so much for joining us. You're also on YouTube, as I said, so look out for Paul Hader on YouTube. And also, thank you so much for being with us, Gary. Are you still there?
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Paul. Come back soon. I'll set another date with you if it's okay, as soon as we finish.
Anytime.
Great. Are you there, Gary? Have you dropped off? No, he looks to be still there, but maybe he has dropped off to sleep. Anyway, we're going to say goodbye and God bless, and thank you so much to everyone who called in and everybody in the chat room and all the people who listen in archives. May all the angels be with you. And we're going to play out with this one. It's a beautiful one called I Wish You Love, Nat King Cole. Wish
Goodbye.
Everybody love.
No use leading without chance. This is where our story ends. Never lovers, ever friends. Goodbye. Let our hearts call it a day. But before you walk away, I sincerely want to say, I wish you bluebirds in the spring to give your heart.
And that one's very popular in the chat room. Did you hear that applause?
And then a kiss.
Yes.
But more than this.
Nat King Cole.
I
Goodbye,
wish
everyone.
You love.
Bye, Gary.
Bye.
And July.
Thank you.
A lemonade.
A lemon.
To cool you in. Some leafy glade. I wish you health and more than wealth. I wish you love. My breaking heart and I agree that you and I could never be. My best, my very best,
very best.
I set you free. I wish you shelter from the storm a cozy fire to keep you warm. But most of all, when snowflakes fall, I